Ruling di Canto Alcanto. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 38. I'll read the Sanskrit first. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vijate tat svayam yoga sang siddha kalinatmani vindati. Translation. In this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Purport. When we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service, and when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana salakaya chakshya unmanitam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha mukam karoti vachalam angum nangayate garim yakripa tamaham mande shi gurundina taranam nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale shimate bhakti vedanta swami iti namane namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharane Nirvesesha Shanyavari Pastachyade Satanane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I picked this verse because I liked the last sentence of the purport. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. I thought it would be relevant to know what is Krishna's last word in Bhagavad Gita. Of course, Prabhupada in his commentary, he's helping us to understand that the gradual approach that Krishna has taken with Arjuna in the beginning chapters of Bhagavad Gita is meant to lead him towards a particular conclusion. Oftentimes, a presentation of Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna consciousness, and those speakers of Krishna consciousness who understood the goal, the conclusion, they try to help those to understand the conclusion by a gradual approach. And so that they can gradually come to understand what is the actual conclusion of Vedic wisdom. Krishna says clearly in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Sayavairaham Eva Vedha Vedanta Kridveda Vedeva Chaham. He says, by all the Vedas, I'm to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. So Krishna, even within Bhagavad Gita, he has clearly stated that the complete goal of all knowledge is to know him. But to know him is not such an easy process. In many places, evidence is given by those who are endeavoring to know him, and by those who have come to know him, that to know him, one has to get Krishna's mercy. Atapite deva padam buja dvaya prasada. We often know this word prasada. Prasada lishana grihita evihi. Most people know the word prasada to mean Mahaprasada Govinde Namo Brahmani Vaishnave. Prasada is Krishna's mercy. And as we oftentimes pray in our prayers before accepting prasad, we thank Krishna for his mercy. He's very kind. He's made himself so easily accessible in the form of prasad. By giving us the prasadam, he is helping us to conquer the tongue, because it's very difficult to conquer the tongue in this world. But the devotee says, but you are so kind, you have given us nice prasadam to help us conquer the tongue. So Krishna has given prasad. It's his mercy. In the same way, atapi te deva padam buja dvaya prasada lesana gihita evihi, that unless one gets Krishna's mercy in whatever form he manifests it to us, it's very difficult to understand his personality. And in Bhagavad Gita, he clearly tells Arjuna that to see me as I am standing before you, you cannot see me simply by studying the Vedas, or simply by performing austerities or giving sacrifices. He says, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am and standing before you in this way. Only then can you actually see me and know me. In other words, Krishna's holding all the cards. He's he reserves the right to reveal himself. He reserves the right because everything is coming from him. The ability to know him can only be obtained by his mercy if he reveals, and even the ability to forget him can only be achieved. Some might say, is that mercy to forget him? But actually, the ability to forget him is given by him for those who want to forget. Right in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, in the essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, which were revealed to Lord Brahma within the heart, Teni Brahma Hidaya Adikavye Uyanti Yatsurya, the essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, he's the first created being in the universe. And he is the first created being in every universe. And it is Lord Brahma who is the secondary creator. He takes the seeds of creation, which are actually coming ultimately from Krishna, because Krishna says, everything is coming from me. Aham bija pita, I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. He says, aham sarvasya prabhavo matak savam pravartate, I'm the source of the material, the spiritual world. Matak parataram nanyat kinshadasti dananjaya, everything rests on me, just like pearls are resting on a thread. Etajonini bhutani savahitya padharya aham krishnasya jagatak babhavak palayastata, of all that is material, of all that is spiritual, I am both its origin and dissolution. Krishna, of course, he can speak for himself. And that's what he did to Arjuna. He spoke for himself in his attempt to enlighten Arjuna about who he is. So, because Krishna, as we said, is holding the cards, he reserves the right to reveal himself, and even, as we said, the ability to forget him, as described in those four essential verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, have come from him. He said that to Brahma, O Brahma, that whatever you see of any value, if it has no relationship with me, you should know it to be my illusory energy, or that reflection which appears in the darkness. He's revealing this to Brahma. Why? Because Brahma, as we said, was the first created being in the universe. He emanated from the lotus navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And at the time of his appearance within the universe, the whole universe was covered in darkness. And he was, at that time, not aware of what he was doing there. Imagine being fully conscious, aware, but looking about you and seeing nothing but darkness, and seeing nobody else, seeing no variety, just darkness. And one thing he did know is that something was underneath him. That much he knew. He wasn't suspended in space. He was on a seat. The seat was the lotus flower emanating from the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. So he thought, well, let me take advantage. At least I know something. I'm sitting on something. Where does it come from? Well, it wasn't revealed to him, unfortunately, at that moment when he inquired. So therefore, in his state, in his attempt to understand the source of that seed, he decided he would climb down and to look for its source. He thought maybe he may discover something more than was available to him at that point in time. So he climbed down, and then, as we see in the picture over there, of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, Lord Brahma, coming from the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, and he's lying in what is called the Garbhodak Ocean, and this Garbhodakshay Vishnu is simply one of the plenary portions of Krishna, who is actually the original source of all incarnations. Ete Changsa Kalapungsa, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Svayam, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that all of these different incarnations are either portions or plenary portions of Krishna, but Krishna, he's the original supreme from whom all other emanations are coming. So Brahma came down the stem, perceived with his that there was stem all of a sudden stopped because there was some water, and he tried to understand, okay, what's in the water? So he put his head in the water, and evidently he had the ability to see in the water, and he heard the vibration tapa, which means penance. Because there was nothing else around, no one else around, and because he couldn't go any farther, upon hearing the vibration of those, that was, it's two syllables, he accepted them to be divine, and therefore of divine origin, and he decided that he would return to that lotus seat and he would engage in penance, which he was able to sit in deep meditation for thousand celestial years, trying to ascertain, because there was nobody to tell him, So he was quite dependent upon his own penance in order to hopefully achieve the fruit, which was to understand the source of his seat and his origin, his own origin. At which time, the Supreme Lord, being pleased by his penance and explaining to Brahma that actually penance in myself is none different than me. Penances that you have accepted were very pleasing to me, because your penances that you accepted was in an attempt to know me. And because there's nobody else to tell you, here I am. And he revealed to him the depth of Vedic wisdom, both by showing the expanse of the spiritual world, as well as revealing within his heart these essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes who he is, who Krishna is. And Krishna says that to Arjuna, Brahma, whatever you see of any value, if you don't see its connection with me, then you should know for certain that it's my illusory energy, or that reflection which appears in the darkness. So what is Krishna saying? Krishna's saying, it's my energy. Daivyeshu guna mayi mama maya dharataya mama ivye prapajante maya mitam tarantite. This divine nature of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, mama maya dharataya, my nature. Right? Divine, three modes of material nature, it's very difficult to overcome. He says, but if you surrender unto me, it becomes very easy to cross beyond it. So the ability to know Krishna comes from Krishna, and the ability to forget Krishna comes from Krishna. And therefore, if we understand that it is only by Krishna's mercy that we can know him, an intelligent person will try to know him by the method he prescribes, by which you can know him in full. That is real transcendental knowledge. That knowledge which is revealed by Krishna upon dissipating the darkness of material world. Krishna says, Te shami vano kampartam aham agyana jamtama nashayami bhavasto jnana dipena basvata. He said, out of compassion for them, I who am dwelling within their hearts, I destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Krishna can say these things. He's proved it in the revelations he's given to Lord Brahma, that he's ready to reveal. Lord Brahma's proved it by his words and by his statements and by his prayers and the own realizations that he shared with the conditioned souls. He is depth of Vedic wisdom and was revealed to him, and he was the first recipient of Vedic wisdom. And then Lord Brahma, who is the secondary creator, from him came many other sons of Brahma. One of them was Narada, who's was the next receiver of this depth of Vedic wisdom. And Brahma revealed to Narada, who in turn spoke to Vyasadeva, who was the literary incarnation of the Lord. And it was Srila Vyasadeva who presented us with Vedic wisdom in the form of the four Vedas, and then the Vedanta Sutra. And then, because Vyasadeva was still feeling unsatisfied, having given knowledge, he gave the knowledge in the four Vedas, the different types of Vedic wisdom by which one could gradually obtain understanding of the Supreme Lord. But after compiling all the Vedic wisdom and giving the Vedanta Sutra, which was Vedic wisdom in codes, he was still feeling a little dissatisfied, because, and he couldn't understand why. And therefore Narada Muni, being the perfect spiritual master and spiritual guide as he is, appeared before Vyasadeva and instructed Vyasadeva, "You're feeling despondent because you've given a lot of information to the people in Kali Yuga, because previous to Kali Yuga, all this Vedic wisdom was simply transmitted through oral reception. Vedic wisdom was only compiled because of Kali. Because in Kali, as it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that men are short-lived, quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed." That is Suta Goswami's description of Kali Yuga. People are very short-lived. Their memories are also short-lived. Previously, simply once hearing from the spiritual master, from the source of Vedic wisdom, there are many examples in previous ages of people who were fully would absorb everything upon once hearing and maintain everything, and then would completely repeat everything they heard without missing anything. Unfortunately, understanding the symptoms of Kali, Vyasadeva had prepared the Vedic wisdom in the form of these Vedic scriptures, but still he was feeling despondent and dissatisfied. And Narada came understanding, Srila Prabhupada says, just like an Ayurvedic physician, we have one here, right? Just by taking the pulse, he can understand the disease. So in the same way, the Narada Muni immediately took Vyasadeva's pulse and could understand that the cause of his despondency is he made such great effort to give the depth of Vedic wisdom in all of these various scriptures. But in this age, because people have such short memories and because they'll be easily deluded by their own attachments, they'll become very confused as to what is the actual goal of Vedas. So therefore, he recommended to Vyasadeva that you should write your own commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And in this commentary of Vedanta Sutra, you should give people direct access to Krishna. And give them his pastimes. Describe the transcendental activities and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, make him so accessible that anyone who comes in contact with the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, even by simply coming in contact with the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, one immediately, his heart can be transformed and an attraction can be awakened within the heart by hearing these transcendental messages. And he told Vyasadeva, he said, "Tyaktva svadhanam charanam bhajana paktvo tatate." Oh, I forget this verse. Tyaktva? I'm trying to remember the meaning. One who forsakes his material occupation to engage in the devotional service of the Lord, he may fall down in an immature stage, but there's never danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, even if he perfectly engages in his occupational duties, he won't gain anything of real tangible value. And then he says, "My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna, having awakened some attraction to the message of Bhagavatam, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna may sometimes fall from his position somehow or other, he won't become a fruitive worker again, because anyone has once gotten a little taste of the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, he'll never be able to forget that ecstasy." So he told them, he said, everyone's going to become bewildered by all this information. Give them the essence. Just give them the essence. And by giving them the essence, awaken some attraction within them. Anyone, from whatever status of life, can be awakened. That attraction can be awakened by hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the means for approaching Krishna and understanding Krishna as he is by understanding his transcendental pastimes as they are revealed in the transcendental spiritual world. the transcendental spiritual world is revealed to those who hear about his activities and pastimes in the association of devotees. And this way, anyone who has even once awakened some attraction to Krishna, by having that knowledge awakened within his heart, then the desire to approach the Lord has been planted within the heart. So that is one way for achieving transcendental knowledge. It is called the descending process. There is the descending process and there's the gradual approach. And in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has recommended to Arjuna a more gradual approach. And that is what that's the beginning. That's the verse we've read about transcendental knowledge, the gradual approach. But we said what attracted us to this verse, we said right in the very beginning, that what attracted us to this verse is Prabhupada's conclusion that is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. Well, what is he saying is the last word in Bhagavad Gita? He said this knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service. And when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna consciousness. The knowledge what he's speaking about in this particular section, in chapters 3 through 6, actually Krishna is describing the gradual approach, a step-by-step process by which one can gradually come to devotional service. The step-by-step process is actually described as, first there is Sakama Kama Yoga. Sakama means desires. Right? Sakama Kama Yoga means that for one who has desires and is attached to the fulfillment of those desires, then let him try to purify those desires by offering some of the fruits of his work to Krishna. That is Sakama Kama Yoga. Let him at least accept that there's a need to offer something to Krishna, because Krishna clearly states in the previous verse, Yagya tat kamanyon rochat lokoyam kama bandana taratam kama konteya mukta sanga samachara. He says, work performed as a sacrifice to Krishna has to be performed. Otherwise, work will bind one to the material world. Karma bandana. Karma bandana means, bandana means the bondage of karma, of work. If one doesn't offer the fruits of his work to Krishna, then karma bandana. He will be bound to the reactions of work. And therefore Krishna has given many instructions to Arjuna gradually how he can offer the fruits by execution of his prescribed duties. He tells Arjuna, you have a right to perform your prescribed duties, but you're not entitled to the fruits of your action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities. Never be attached to not doing your duty. He's trying to instill within Arjuna a sense of duty, that you have to offer something. So Sakama Kama Yoga is for those who are attached to some fruit, but because there's some attached to fruit, they're attached to some work to achieve some fruit. So Krishna says, okay, purify by offering something. And by offering something to me, you may come to the platform of what's called Nishkama Kama Yoga. Nishkama Kama Yoga means Nishkamu. We spoke about this the other night. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama. Atayeva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakaliya Shanta. The devotee of Lord Krishna is Nishkama, which means he has no desires, therefore he can be peaceful. Whereas Bhukti, those who desire enjoyment, Mukti, those who desire liberation, Siddhi, those who desire mystic yoga perfections, they are still Kami, they still have desires. Sakaliya Shanta, therefore they can't be peaceful. There's no permanent resting place for their desires, because there's no desires which could be completely fulfilled as long as this is a desire for bhakti, mukti, and siddhi. They can't satisfy the self. They can't satisfy the hankering. They can't nourish the self, the soul. So nishkama kama yoga means those who aren't attached to the fruits, but they're still attached to the work. They still want to do a particular type of work by nature. I have to do it, but I'll offer it to Krishna. So Krishna has given this gradual process of sakama kama yoga, nishkama kama yoga, then there's jnana yoga, then there's ashtanga yoga, and then gradually one can come to the platform of bhakti yoga. And therefore, when Prabhupada says here, the last word in the Bhagavad Gita, this is the last word of Bhagavad Gita, what he's saying is that why not, for those who are fortunate enough, those who are sakama kama yogis and nishkama kama yogis, they may not know that the goal is Krishna. They may just know that the goal is to avoid suffering and the reactions to my work. And because I want to avoid suffering and reactions to my work, I'll offer the results to Krishna. Some results to Krishna to avoid getting sinful reactions. Because Krishna says, yajna tat kama nonyocha loka yam kama bandhana. That if you perform, unless you perform your work for his satisfaction, you're going to experience karma bandhana. You're going to be bound. You're going to be doing it again. And again, and again. And karma bandhana means, that's it. There's no end to the cycle. If one looks at the whole picture, it's not a very bright outlook for life, which is eternal. Right. There may be some relief. Well, maybe I can go to the heavenly planets, at least enjoy for a long time. But Krishna says right in the very beginning, in the second chapter, he says, men of small knowledge, they're attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, those flowery words we spoke about, which recommend various types of sacrifices to elevation to the heavenly planets, the power, result in good birth, and so many things. Being attached to sense gratification and opulent life, that they think that's what the Vedas are all about. They think that's the goal of the Vedas. Yeah, let me get that destination. Let me enjoy and not suffer. But it's temporary. It's not a very good outlook for somebody who knows there's something higher. Therefore, it is a great advantage. It is a great advantage. And Prabhupada explains this point in his gradual teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. It is a great advantage if one gets the opportunity to at least know the goal before one begins the process. If one at least knows what the goal is. Otherwise, he may become bewildered. He may not know the goal. He may think the goal is bhakti, which is very unfortunate. He may even think the goal is mukti, which is still incomplete. It's still incomplete. Lord Brahma, the first recipient of Vedic wisdom, he very clearly explains in his prayers to Krishna, Aruya kuchchena padam padam pata. He says, what happens to persons who perform severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position? They fall down from that position of mukti, liberation. Vimukta maninas means they think they're liberated, but they fall down because they failed to establish their connection with Krishna. They failed to take shelter of his lotus feet. So it's not a permanent goal. Bhakti, mukti, siddhi. Unfortunately, those are still desires which cannot be completely fulfilled. But Krishna bhakta nishkama, the devotee of Lord Krishna, has all his desires fulfilled because the added benefit of hearing about Krishna, which is what Narada Muni told Vyasadeva to do, the added benefit is that one gets the mercy of Krishna, gets help. The karma yogi, jnana yogi, they try to do it by their own efforts. But the bhakta gets help from Krishna. And therefore, because he gets help from Krishna, as soon as he knows that the goal is Krishna, then he may gradually traverse the path, but at least he knows what the goal is. Therefore, Prabhupada says here that this knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service. And when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. As Krishna says, for one who's not connected to me, one who's not connected to the Supreme, he can have neither a controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Therefore, Prabhupada is elaborating on what is this transcendental knowledge, and there are different ways to obtain it. And the best way is when it's revealed from within. That knowledge is revealed from within. He could describe how, as the mature fruit of all mysticism. It's revealed from within for those who engage. And this verse is speaking about in Nishkama Kama Yoga. Those who are engaged in some particular work, but they're not interested in enjoying the fruits. They want to offer the fruits of their work to Krishna. And to end, there is a nice offer the fruits to Krishna. Actually, brings to mind just one small, well, it's not small, significant section of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I just wanted to end with this quote from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's entitled Ideal Family Life. For those of you who may be wondering if it exists, it's right here. Ideal Family Life. And I don't know if that sounded right or not, but anyways. It does exist. It's right here in Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of Vedic wisdom. And it was Yudhisthira Maharaj. Yudhisthira Maharaj was speaking to Narada Muni. And Yudhisthira Maharaj asked Narada Muni, inquired from Narada. He says, "Oh my Lord, O great sage, kindly explain how we who are staying at home without knowledge of the goal of life may also easily attain liberation according to the instructions of the Vedas." And then Narada Muni replied, "My dear king, those who stay at home as householders must act to earn their livelihood. And instead of trying to enjoy the results of their work themselves, they should offer these results to Krishna, Vasudeva. How to satisfy Vasudeva in this life can be perfectly understood through the association of great devotees of the Lord." In the next verse, it's one of my favorite verses, Srinvan Bhagavato Bhikshnam Avatara Katam Ritam Shradadhano Yata Kalam Upashanta Janavrita. Narada Muni says to Yudhisthira, "A grahastha must associate again and again with saintly persons with great respect. He must hear the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Lord in his incarnations, as these activities are described in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. Thus, one should gradually become detached from affection for family, exactly like a man awakening from a dream." Gradually. It is a gradual approach, but the method of detachment is by simply becoming attached to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That is all. Nothing else required. Simply by becoming attached to hearing the transcendental narrations of the Lord in the association of devotees, and Krishna, who is the super soul within the heart, Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Ponya Shravana Kirtana Hridantyasto Yabhadani Vidu Noti Suhitsutam. Just as Krishna reveals within the heart of Lord Brahma the depth of Vedic wisdom, within the heart of anyone who develops the urge to hear his messages, Krishna says, "I, who am dwelling within our hearts, right, Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Sri Krishna, who is the super soul in the hearts of all living beings, he cleanses desire for material enjoyment within the hearts of those persons who develops the urge to hear his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. That's it. That's it. Rather than taking the gradual approach and risk not even getting to the goal, it's a big risk. One can immediately understand what is the goal simply by hearing about Krishna, because Krishna makes it very clear, I am the goal. If you simply hear about me, as Yudhisthira inquired from Narada Muni, if you simply hear about me and the association of devotees, then automatically from within the heart I will act to cleanse and to remove all obstacles so that one can approach me and come to me. That is the best way for the transcendental knowledge, to obtain transcendental knowledge, as prescribed by Krishna to Arjuna, and as always prescribed by all the great Vaishnava acharyas who have given us Krishna in the form of transcendental sound, vibration. I'm going to end here, but I would just also like to take this opportunity to say that I know a few of the devotees here. It is a very auspicious day for you that it is the appearance day of your Guru Maharaj, and you've sacrificed, for what reason, ever reason, I don't understand. You sacrificed gathering amongst yourselves to hear and chant his glories, to come and to hear from me, and that's a big sacrifice. But nonetheless, I wanted to thank you for coming and to say that on such a auspicious day of a great Vaishnava, who is obviously somebody who is very eager to give Krishna to others. And I always appreciated that in him I saw somebody that, because of his sincere desire to give Krishna, that even many of my godbrothers who forgot were awakened again by his saintly association. And I'm sure Srila Prabhupada is pleased by that. And therefore, I would like to at least recognize the day as an auspicious day. And although I cannot speak much, I've had virtually very little association, although I did have a moment. But I do appreciate his profound wisdom and his efforts to help my godbrothers in serving Srila Prabhupada. So may you have a auspicious day, and may I somehow contribute to their auspiciousness by expressing my gratitude in this way. I went beyond my schedule. I said I was going to follow a schedule, and I was supposed to stop at 8:15, and although we started a little bit late, and I think Prasadam is next, if I'm correct.
Yes, absolutely.
Which form? Then the other form of prasad. Yes, the other form of prasad. And we'll stop here. Thank you. Hare Krishna.